Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
LPs for DJs.
Hey there, everybody. It's Patrick here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. We are in a very studious location today for another episode of Meet the DJ here on Rockin' the Suburbs. And on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another episode. With me today is my friend, longtime member of the Rockin' the Suburbs community, Bill Mulligan. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program.
My pleasure.
Now, Bill, you and I drove out to Suburbs Fest Midwest together. And when
yes.
I say together, you did all the driving and I did all the navigating. Actually, you did that too. But I've got deep background on you now because we spent so much time talking. I feel like we know each other. So I'm going to try to...
No secrets today, I guess.
I'm going to try to put that out of my mind is what I was going to say and give everybody a portrait of... maybe ask you questions that I might know the answer to, but ask them anyway for everybody else's benefit. So let's start with the very basics. What's the name of your program and when does it air on Suburbs Radio?
Mulligan's Stew. And it airs Wednesday from 7 to 9 Eastern.
Now, you started off with a slightly different name, I believe.
Yes, the Mr. Bill Show.
The Mr. Bill Show. But,
I
like
didn't want
too.
Saturday Night Live to come after me. So
that's probably a wise move. Yeah, the legal team at Suburbs Radio and Keith Jacobson suggested that change. Now, do you have any previous experience doing radio of any kind?
No, none whatsoever. When I first got to college, I think I may have attended an informational meeting about the college radio station. And when they said that the newbies normally got the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. slots, that's the word I'm looking for, because it was a 24-hour station.
Right.
I said, nope.
That's not going to happen.
If I'm up at 2 a.m., I want to have a beer in my hand. I don't want to be sitting by myself in some small room.
Right. With who knows how many people actually tuned
yeah,
in.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Would have been good practice. So how about in the sense of, did you make mixtapes a lot when you were younger? Or you know, do you still in any way compile CDs or put songs together? Before we started the radio station?
No, never really did any of that. I never got into cassettes, be they pre-recorded or mixing my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always thought to myself, isn't that just going to get stretched out? And even the few CDs I burned in my lifetime, I didn't do much in the way of mixing. So
right.
No, this is a new to me, putting together a playlist.
Well, fantastic. I really, really enjoy your show. And in general, when you're doing your show, you have usually some sort of overriding theme, right?
That is correct. That's as much as anything a way to limit the difficulties that I have in picking songs. By coming up with a theme, at least I've discarded a whole segment of the universe of songs that I might have to consider.
Right. And you've done some very creative themes on your show. What are some of the ones that you remember or the ones you enjoyed putting together?
Oh gosh, let's see. Well, I did a show on his birthday in honor of Nick Lowe.
Yes.
And given the constraints that we operate under, which I can't remember them off the top of my head, but no more than 3 songs from the same album and only 2 of those in a row.
Right.
And I think there's a limit on the number of times we can play a single artist in a single show.
Yeah.
I had to get creative. So I figured Rockpile was one band.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Lowe solo was another band. Nick Lowe in his cowboy outfit was a third band.
That's right.
And then I filled it in with songs that he had written that other people performed.
Right.
So that was a good one.
That was brilliant.
That was one I liked. I'll leave others to decide if it was a good one. This year, fortunately, it wasn't on my actual birthday, but I fictionally recreated a broadcast from the day I was born.
Right. That was brilliant.
I found the Billboard Top 40 from the day I was born And then I fictionalized that I was doing a countdown of that from a radio station in Key West, which is the city of my birth. Mm-hmm. And then when I was done, I had to do two things. One, I didn't want to try to do that live, mainly because of time constraints.
Yeah.
So I recorded it, and it ended up being, instead of the 120 minutes I have for my slot, it was 122 minutes long. And I had two choices. One was just to clip the last song, House of the Rising Sun, which was the number one song in the country the day I was born, which is a pretty good song to have as your birthday song.
Yeah, it really is.
What I decided to do, because it was supposed to sound like an AM radio broadcast, I put it through that effect in Audacity where it changes the running time but doesn't affect the pitch.
Yeah.
So if you timed out all those songs, they actually probably played about 98% of the time they should have. And then I passed it through a filter to cut off both the high and the low frequencies so that it sounded like an old AM radio broadcast. Those are the two that stand out most of the ones that
I've
done.
Those were both great. I've listened to both of those. And I think this is a good time to mention, too, folks, if you are a listener to the podcast and you haven't tried out the radio station and you want to jump in somewhere, one way to do that, to get a flavor of whether or not you're going to like the station, is you can go to Mixcloud. So go to Mixcloud, search Suburbs Radio, and all of our shows come up. And you can go back and listen to these shows that Bill is describing right now. And your show is also replayed, Bill, right? It's replayed on Friday, is that
right?
Friday
at 1 p.m.
1 p.m. in the afternoon. So that's another option, too. I think for our European audience, 1 p.m. on Friday could work out, right? Isn't that about 6 or 7 in the evening in the mainland Europe?
7, 8, depending on how far east you are.
Right. Yeah. Whether it's British summertime or not, we don't know. Recently, and as we record this, you did a show last night. Tell us a little bit about that theme.
Oh, right. Last night. I'm trying to remember what I did last night. I had several, like a dozen, I think, albums that I had acquired recently and hadn't listened to. Some of them I literally had not taken out of the shrink wrap.
Right.
So I just, for technical reasons, I did copy them onto the computer. But anyways, I was just playing songs at random from these albums, listening to them for the first time myself. I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, me too.
I had one or two instances of dead air, but that's a personal failing of mine when it comes to being a DJ. I liked almost everything I heard, which is pretty good thing to do, both just from a listening point of view and from a I paid money for these point of views.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a pretty good variety of stuff. Now, I will say, in my own personal listening to your show, I usually miss the half hour block between 7:30 and 8 because I'm required to go upstairs and watch Jeopardy. So I do catch up either on Friday or on Mixcloud, that one half hour block that I kind of miss.
It's funny you say that because I have noticed, I don't know what other DJs do in terms of looking at their numbers, which we can go to a website while we're on the air if we're doing it live and see what our numbers are. My numbers do tend to fall off in the last half hour. I just attributed to fatigue, people being tired of hearing my voice, but maybe it's all the Jeopardy fans we have in our audience.
Yeah, running to watch Jeopardy. Yeah, depending on what time zone they're in. It may air at different times in different places, too. I think it does, actually. You mentioned your voice. How would you describe your hosting style?
Golly, this is more introspection than I'm normally prone to. Earnest? I don't know. I have a tendency. I joked during last night's show that I prepare about 15 to 20 hours for each show. That's a bit of an exaggeration. It probably is 2 to 3 hours for a 2-hour show. I sequence the songs first. I pick them. I sequence them. And then somehow in my head, I don't know, I didn't even do this consciously, I'm reaching back to the idea of like Casey Kasem's American Top 40, where I want to have something to say about each song.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to do a little research. Most of the are songs that I know something about already, but I like to do a little research and whatnot. So it does take me time to do it. So I've got I wouldn't call it a script, but it's a half-formed, bullet points on each song. So I'm frequently worried about getting those in. I thought I had a tendency to talk really fast.
Mm.
And then I was talking to somebody once, I think it was Jim, and he seemed to be surprised that I thought that I was talking really fast.
Yeah, so, doesn't seem like that to me either. Yeah.
I have many flaws, but one of my biggest weaknesses is I have a tendency to be a pedant. And I think I have come to the... That was one of the reasons I wanted to do the show the way I did last night.
Yeah.
Was I wanted to have something that I didn't have anything to say about.
Yeah, interesting.
Because my default mode is to explain things to people. and I do that a little bit, but I hope it's things that people enjoy hearing about.
Right,
so.
Right. And you generally try to record your show live, right?
Yes, that's preferred. And if I have something that conflicts a social, my jam-packed social calendar sometimes keeps me off the air, but I prefer to do it live. When I first started doing it, maybe I would have gotten over this, but when I first started doing it on more than one occasion, I would get well over an hour into a show and then just completely bollocks up something.
Yeah.
And get so frustrated that I would stop the recording and start over again.
Oh, wow. And, all the way at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. And going live, you know, you make a mistake, it's out there.
It's out there.
You just got to keep moving towards the goal line. You can't get back at it. I joke with those of us who prefer to be recorded that going live gives you reminds you of the thrill of being alive.
Yes.
But in some ways, that is true. It's just... It's out there, you do it, and you're done.
Yeah. And, you know, I've pre-recorded a few episodes as well, and I find myself doing exactly what you said, overthinking it, you know, constantly trying to think about what I've just said, and does that make sense, and do I really want to play this song next? And it ends up taking, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours to put together, you know, a 2-hour show. It's,
right.
It's quite a phenomenon. It really is. Now, you don't always record your show or broadcast live from your basement. There are times you've actually done it from other locations, right?
My show live?
Did you ever broadcast it from another location?
No.
Weren't you like camping once and did you broadcast
from a tent? I think I pretended.
Oh.
I recorded it ahead of time and pretended that I was camping.
All right.
But
you
I actually did that ahead of time in my basement. No.
Okay.
That would be, who knows, maybe I go every year with the Boy Scouts, we go to
right.
a week of summer camp, and who knows, this year maybe that I feel now that I feel more comfortable being on the air and being a DJ, maybe I'll try it from
well, you had me
from
fooled.
My tent.
I thought you were actually were doing
no
that.
No, I think last night was my 38th show, and all 38 of them I have been in my basement.
In
whether
basement.
I'm live
okay.
or on Memorex, I've been in the basement.
Got it.
So.
Yeah. Same with me. That's a revelation, folks, because I thought for sure that happened. I thought for sure he had pulled that off, which was really amazing to me. If you had to pick one artist or two, maybe, that have been played most frequently on your show, is there one or two that come to mind? Or
so now I actually, when you asked Kevin Clement this
yep.
the other day, I was thinking, you know what, I need to think about that myself, and didn't. I'm not really sure. Some people might expect the answer to be Nick Lowe, and it's possible that the show that I did that focused on him pushed him to number
one.
Well,
that's true, yeah. That's
but leaving,
kind of a caveat. Yeah.
Leaving that show aside, I don't actually think I play him all that much. Nobody really springs to mind.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
Marshall Crenshaw.
Maybe, yep. I definitely heard him, yeah.
You know, because I'm doing, they're not always themes, but because I'm trying frequently to have some kind of theme, the good and the bad of that, as I indicated earlier, is that limits what I can choose from. I'm not just up there without a net like you frequently are.
Yeah, let's not have that. We've got one person doing that. That's bad enough, believe me. How would you say doing the radio show, if at all, has changed your music consumer habits? Has it changed it in any way? Do you find yourself buying more stuff or downloading or streaming more than you previously did?
Not a whole lot. Maybe using the streamings a little bit more
mm-hmm.
to explore things. More so than being a DJ, being a listener to the station
okay.
has gotten me to explore different things, which I presume is kind of unstated, but that's kind of the philosophy of the station.
Absolutely.
Is that we all have these varying backgrounds in our as musical consumers and and sharing them with other like-minded folks is a big part of why we spend what's a not inconsiderable amount of time doing this.
This is very true, yeah. One question I have for you, Bill, is how much time or effort did you put into digitizing your existing music collection when you first started doing the radio show?
Well, so when the pandemic first started, I actually bought a second computer.
Oh, really?
A used computer with the idea that when I was working from home, I'd have my work laptop, and right next to me, I would have this other computer on that same desk. And while I was doing my work, I would just be jamming CD after CD and ripping them.
Right.
So I had actually had digitized about two-thirds of my CD collection prior to ever hearing whispers of the radio station.
Beautiful.
And then once the radio station was announced and I found out how the DJs bring their own music to it, I spent about 10 days recording the rest of, ripping the rest of my music. The one thing that I haven't done much of because I started and it turned out to be very time consuming is ripping vinyl.
Yes.
If you want to rip an entire side and have that be a single file, that's not a problem.
Right.
It's dividing it up into the five or six different tracks. The software says, oh, we can find the beginning of each track, and it's a little better than a shot in the dark at that.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that I would really like to do is a fair number of my albums or things on there that I want to play that I know you have a setup to actually play vinyl, and I keep thinking to myself, I'm going to try that one day. But as of now, all my CDs are, I say this, and I have to say up front, halfway through, that my collection is absolutely dwarfed by like your collection. So whereas it took me, you know, who knows, just say it took me 200 hours to digitize my CD collection, it would probably take you like 2,000 or 20,000 hours. Having said that, what I would really like to be able to do but haven't yet is digitize my LPs.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and I'll totally agree. And not only that, but going through and labeling each track after you slice it out from ripping the album takes a tremendous amount of time too. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, am I going to put one in front of this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or how am I going to keep it in order from the side or A1 or A2?
People who rip CDs don't realize just how much work somebody else has done between creating the database, writing the parts of the code in Windows Media Player or whatever your preferred ripping software is that reaches over to the database and thinks, okay, this, I don't even know how they match.
I don't either.
This disk to that part of the database.
Yeah.
And then they bring over all the track information and all that kind of stuff.
It's amazing.
That's wonderful. It's probably not a single person who did that, but I would fall down and kiss this person's feet if I could find them, because that's really amazing. And more than even than the finding the beginning of the tracks. Yes. Labeling everything once you've ripped a regular 40-minute LP, including the time it takes to do the ripping. You don't have to stand there. You can walk off and do something else, but still easily an hour of work for each LP.
Yeah, it is.
If not more.
So I want to go back to the idea of themes that you have for your show. How does that ideation process take place?
Not the most recent show, but I think the show right before that was the one where I recreated the set that was played by the Half Smokes at Hank Deedle's Tavern during the Rock Suburbs Fest. So obviously that arose in the moment. In fact, literally, I was sitting next to you on a bar stool when I said, I should do this. And thank you. You went up and liberated the physical copy of their set list off the stage after the show.
Yeah, after they were done. That's
I was able to use. When we started the radio station, I literally sat down one weekend and thought up a lot of themes. And some of those I'm still pulling out of my bag. So there's not a specific time, but mainly it's just things popping unbidden into my head.
Yeah, yeah. Which in some ways that's a blessing too. And when we were talking earlier before we came here and turned the mics on, and I should tell folks, this is kind of a unique, I think this is a first for Rockin' the Suburbs. We're actually recording in a conference room at the Tyson's Pimmett Library here in Falls Church. So that's pretty cool too. It's like a wonderful facility. It's both of our normal locations were unavailable this afternoon, so we decided to come over here. And so we should thank the people, the nice people, for helping us out. But we were talking earlier, and you were talking about we were talking about a couple TV shows and movies. I'd love to see you do something with songs that were soundtracks to movies or TV shows. Yeah, yeah. Especially the one we were referring to that said in Ireland. They have some cool music in that
one,
too.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
That might be something interesting.
I'll put that in the hopper so you let it percolate back there for a while.
Is there anything else regarding Mulligan Stew or Rockin' the Suburbs Radio you wanted to throw out there?
Not really. I think you covered most of it. You would know better than I because you actually see the numbers. I do get the sense that there are people who listen to the podcast who haven't tuned into the station, and it's a lot of fun. The station is a lot of fun as a listener. It's a lot of fun as a DJ. In fact, there's a certain gentleman in Silver Spring who should be one of our DJs. Yes. He certainly has you're not on Facebook, but he doesn't he practically does a playlist on Facebook, a running playlist on Facebook.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
It's fun as a DJ, but it's fun as a listener, and the shows are really varied.
They are.
You've got the unrestrained, I was going to say unhinged, but the unrestrained manner in which you personally approach it.
Thank you.
You've got my kind of more buttoned up or buttoned down, whatever way you want your buttons to go, approach. You've got, you know, Bob Peterson. I love Bob Peterson.
Me
if you
too.
Ever met Bob Peterson, you wouldn't expect some of the things he says to come out of his mouth.
No, but, you would not.
The point being that there's a big variety. So if you do listen to the radio show, don't just listen to my show and decide, oh my God, what are they doing? Stick around and sample a couple other folks, see what they've got to offer, because there's almost certainly going to be something on the station that you enjoy.
Totally concur with that. And, you know, when we first started talking about the idea, I thought, oh, well, this is going to be, you know, a whole bunch of people just playing the Replacements in REM, you know, like the whole time. But it certainly has evolved into something much more than that, which is amazing. Well, Bill, thank you so much for this time and certainly for your efforts on Mulligan Stew. I always find Wednesday evening to be particularly enjoyable, the lineup that comes out on Wednesday evening. I believe it's Kevin Goff, who's right before you usually.
Yes, Kevin's before me. Mm-hmm. Will Pfeiffer's before him.
Yep.
My memory gets a little hazy. I'm actually
Zach
technically
Cruz
working.
Is earlier on Wednesday. Uh-huh. And after you is...
It was Gerald Chudzinski's North of the Border, but that's moved to Sunday morning.
Sunday morning,
but it's
right.
A reason to get up at 8 a.m. on a Sunday
it
morning.
It is. Yeah, Sunday morning's lineup is actually really good, too. The weekend mornings, yeah, if you feel those coming down. It's a good way to ease it with Suburbs Radio, that's for sure. Well, Bill, thank you so much, not only for your radio show and the time you put in, but everything you've done for Suburbs Pod and helping us out with the fest and all that. If it wasn't for Bill taping the microphones down on the first night, folks, we would have had some serious injuries that took place at Suburbs Fest, Maryland. So, and you actually were on stage at one point, which was incredible. So,
yeah, that was against my better. even the thought of me going on stage is just causing my brain to shut down. I should have known better is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, but it came out great. I thought it was fantastic. It really was. Well, thanks again. And again, it's Mulligan Stew. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesdays. And you can catch the replay Friday at 1 p.m. on Suburbs Radio. You can go to Mixcloud, just search Suburbs Radio, and you will find all the shows archived. And I think they show up, what does it take, 3 or 4 days or something for it to propagate over there?
Yeah, 3 or 4 days.
And so you can always catch the replays there. And now with the mobile apps, you can tune in anytime and listen. You can even be, you know, like the old days of the transistors under the covers with your headphones in and listening to Suburbs Radio as a strange force coming from across the internet. So, all right. So if you have anything to say about Mulligan Stew, if you have anything to say about Suburbs Radio, get in touch. You can send us an email, rocketsuburbspod.com. You can find us on the socials at Suburbs Pod, and you can call the Suburban Party Line and roll reversal.
612-440-1984.
There it is. Thank you, Bill, so much. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I'm Patrick Foster, and with me has been
Bill Mulligan.
Thank you, sir, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye. Whether I'm live or on Memorex, I've been in the basement.